have some exciting news this morning. Tyler kind of mentioned it earlier, but we don't just have one speaker this weekend. We have two speakers this weekend. So our speaker from this morning hails from Summit County, Colorado. So a lot of skiing, a lot of people. So he is a church planter in Summit County, Colorado, and he has a huge heart for sharing Jesus. And so we are going to give him a great warm welcome because we are so excited that he would be here with us. He actually came in the spring. We are really excited. We've already flown him in once, and this is our second time flying him in. But the ironic thing is that a pastor who pastors in Summit County, Colorado, was snowed in by about 1 inch of Virginia snow. So we are glad to welcome him back for fall retreat. I mean, we just hope that some of the things that he shares with us really rub off on our community because he has a passion for sharing the love of Christ with other people. So would you give a great warm welcome to Eric Ojala?
Guys, I'm super excited to be here with you this morning. Is this going to work? Can we do that? Anybody nervous? You're going to be watching this the whole time. Forget it. All right. I know some of you. Because I'm going to tell you several reasons why I am excited to be here with this morning. I don't know how this works. So guys, I don't know UVA. I don't. And so inevitably, I am going to make some very offensive statement or, you know, six or seven offensive statements. I don't know your culture. I don't know your people. I just know that I am super honored to be here. I'm not sure exactly what happened, if it was a mistake, but somehow I am standing on the stage and I get to hang out with you guys today, and I don't know your culture, and so I have to make certain assumptions or not make assumptions, and so I say anything, just how about we do this? Let's everybody give each other the benefit of the doubt. Can we do that? It's crazy, right? It's crazy. Let's do something like that. So we won't even go gospel where Paul says to prefer other people to yourself. We won't even go there. Let's just give each other the benefit of the doubt this morning, but I'm excited. Apparently, you guys are smart people. Is that fair? Is that offensive? Did I already blow it? I don't know. So I looked up, I did some research. I read online, right? Whatever. Secondary research, is that the thing? That's the thing. So anyway, so I was reading UVA. So apparently it has a 29% acceptance rate. Now who knew that? All right. So whatever. So you guys knew that 29% acceptance rate. So you guys are at least the top third of the pool of people that apply to you. So you guys are the smart people, right? And so I'm just going to assume that you're like the top 5% of the 29%, right? That this room, this is the improbable statistic, the pool of the population, that you are the smartest of the smart people. And so this day, I get an opportunity to talk to a bunch of awesome people who have the potential to go and change the world. And that makes me really, really excited. Now, guys, I am unbalanced, right? For many years, I sought to seek balance in my life. Oh, God, I just want to be balanced. What's this guy doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Bathroom? Are the bathrooms that way? Are you? Oh, dude, I'm sorry, man. Let us know how it goes. All right, are we? All right, that's not good. One time, I was speaking at a university, and I have several spiritual gifts. One, the spiritual gift of self-invitation. I can invite myself anywhere. That's maybe how I ended up on the stage. I don't know, but I have the spiritual gift of receiving, right? And so if you put me together with a giver, I can receive all day long. I've got that gift. But my third one is creating awkward situations, and I excel. I mean, this is like, it's like my ethos. It just drips. And so I was speaking at one of the Assemblies of God universities, and I like to, just when people come in, we're like, hey, let's all clap. Whenever someone comes in, let's just clap and give them a standing ovation and just make it awkward. I didn't realize, the girl had gone out to the bathroom, and she came back in. We gave this big standing ovation. It was this beautiful, wonderful, awkward. See, it's not even funny, right? And so anyway, it was this wonderful, awkward moment, so I love creating awkward situations, which I've already done several times, and right now you can feel it, right? Like, it's awkward. You can actually feel the awkwardness in the room, so we're... But guys, I am an evangelist, right? And so for those of you who grew up in church, what's an evangelist? So I do not have a white hanky, so I don't yell typically, I don't spit, so you guys are not in the splash zone, you should be safe. I don't do the whole, praying for people to say that's awesome, but that's not necessarily my bent. And so my job in life, my calling in life, literally, I lead people to Jesus. I lead people to Jesus. Did you go around? Dude, that's smart. That's awesome. Is that the same guy or no? I get it. Dude. All right, man. All right, dude. All right. You deserve a water bottle, man. I forgot. I actually have a few more. And so you have really nice teeth. So there you go. That's for you. So. So guys, I'm an evangelist, and what that means is I lead people to Jesus. And sometimes I don't necessarily get to see the salvation moment or the event or the process. I many times take people from, let's say, a -9. I hate God, I hate church, I hate Christians, I'm never coming to their thing. And I will help someone go from a -9 to maybe a -2, right? And then they'll go somewhere else and come to Christ a year, decades later. So I lead people to Christ, I lead people closer to Christ. The second thing I do is I train, equip, and challenge other people to live out the Great Commission in real life. And so today I have this amazing opportunity to stand before a bunch of people who can go and change the world. Now guys, I am unbalanced, as I said before, and so God's gonna call some of you into Chi Alpha, some of you into ministry, and that's awesome, and I guess I'm excited for it. Let's just say I'm excited for it, but really what I'm excited for, and probably an unbalanced way, is I love to see people who love Jesus go into the marketplace. I love to see people who are just on fire for God get injected into an environment where you will reach people that no one else could ever reach, that no pastor, that no missionary, that no one else could connect with. You will be able to connect with these people in such an amazing way because of the platform that you've been given. Guys, we're going to talk about the talents today. The talents, guys, you guys have been given so many talents. Whether it's athletic or intellectual or spiritual, you guys have been given so much, and God is asking us to invest that in his kingdom to see a reward and to see a harvest. And so today I get to hang out with some awesome people who can go and change the world. I didn't get his permission, but Logan, where's Logan here? Hey, Logan. Can I talk about you? Is that a thing? No pressure in front of 400 of your closest friends here. But last night I was talking to Logan. This dude, man, he's awesome. He's awesome. So you guys should get to know Logan. But Logan is pursuing medicine, I believe. And what an amazing platform, right? I mean, just in America, people respect doctors. They just do. If you're a doctor, you immediately respect him. What? Guys, it's this both and. So many times we talk about that, okay, God's going to inject you into an environment so that you can bring the kingdom of God and witness to people, or God's going to bring you into this environment so that you can benefit society and build bridges if you're an engineer, or bring health and healing and hope and comfort to people. Guys, it's both and. So God is calling Logan into the marketplace to be a doctor, one, to bring hope, to bring healing, to bring medical care, to bring compassion, and to bring the kingdom of God with him, right? It's both and he's going to have a platform where he can not reach just patients, but doctors and administrators and nurses. Guys, God has uniquely called you and gifted you and is sending you to go and change the world. If you're an engineer, you're going to go build safe bridges and structures and buildings so that our society can't exist and so that you can bring the kingdom of God with you. It is your duty, it is your responsibility, and God has put that inside of you to send you uniquely into that environment. And so I'm excited that I get to hang out with you guys today, this weekend. Speaking of that, guys, come hang out with me. I'm a very needy person, very insecure, and so I need you guys to come spend time with me. Also, Glenn, I mean, have you seen the man, that man's head? Did we talk about this? The dude is brilliant. And so, unfortunately, not many of you went and talked to Glenn last night. I'm not sure why you didn't do that. But guys, you have access to amazing people. Pete has no appointments this week. Glenn has no appointments. You know, I can be like the D team. Come hang out with me. But guys, you have so many amazing people that you have access to the next day or two. Take advantage of that. Hang out with Glenn. Come hang out with me. So I'm excited to be here that I can hopefully give you some of my propaganda about the Great Commission. I am also excited. I have three kids, and I love them a lot. But I am not with them now, and I got to sleep better than I have slept in 6.5 years. I haven't slept that well. And so I was so excited for no one to crawl into bed with me at 3 o'clock in the morning. That did not happen. Until it's 3 o'clock in the morning and someone crawls in bed with you. No. And then they just don't crawl in bed with you. They pee on you, right? That's what they do. And so I am so excited to tell you that not only did not anyone crawl in bed with me last night, but I did not wake up in a pool of somebody else's urine last night. So, I mean, that was awesome, right? So literally that happened the other night. I woke up and was like, oh man, something's really warm. Like my daughter must be really close to me. And I looked down and it pulled. I mean, it wasn't like a pool, but it pulled. Like you could put a guppy in there and it could have swam around. There was literally like urine. That's what I didn't get thrown up on last night. Like my kids have been sick, and so I have a 3-year-old. I'll show a picture in a minute. And this kid, he screams a lot. He's very angry. He screams a lot right now. He'll get over it, but I'm sure by the time he graduates high school, he'll stop screaming. But he's screaming a lot, right? And then he gets all worked up, and he gets upset, and then he starts choking, and then he projectile vomits, right? And so I was holding him like, no, calm down, Chase, calm down, calm. And then you could see it, I'm like, oh God, here. And so literally like center mass, boom! I mean, just center mass exploded all over me. Apparently, I kind of blacked out. I don't remember. Apparently, the next thing I remember is I'm in the shower, and I'm like in my clothes, and I'm showering off, and my wife comes in, and she's a little angry. And she's like, Eric, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm taking a shower. Did you not see the center mass hit? Like, I just got projectile. She's like, you threw our child on the bed. He's sitting in his own vomit. I'm like, I had to protect myself, man. I don't know. So I don't remember any of that. But guys, I'm excited to not get peed on or vomited on, to sleep well. And the third thing I'm excited for is, guys, today, some of you, God is going to call you or begin to call you to come hang out with me and my amazing wife and church plant in Summit County, Colorado. Guys, we may or may not possibly do a future missions trip. Definitely, we do internships over the summer. We have 8 give-a-years right now. 8 give-a-years. We just had 1 leave, so we had 9. We have 8 give-a-years. We had 8 interns over the last 2 summers. So there's a reason. We're not supposed to say good stuff about ourselves. That's one of the rules. But guys, there must be something happening right if all these people are coming and hanging out with us. And so, guys, you should come hang out with us, all of you, all 386 of you should come do an internship or give a year or give the rest of your life. That's what you should probably do. So, there's certain things you don't pray about. I mean, did you pray about, God, should I brush my teeth this morning? Well, hopefully you brush your teeth this morning. But secondly, you don't pray about that. Like, God, what should I wear? You probably didn't pray. God, should I dedicate the rest of my life to Summit County? You just don't pray about certain things. That's one of them. You just go. You just do it. So when in doubt, move to Summit County. So guys, we're going to get started here in a second. I want to show you, here's my family. Here's my awesome son, Cadence. That's Chase in the middle. He looks very confused. That's Aspen. If we can go to the next picture here, my son, Cadence. That's my wife. We'll talk about her. That's not my child. There he is. Look at that kid, right? So my son, he is a thinker. He's intellectual. He's a processor. He never gets hurt. He's very safe. He's calculated. His best friend Maya, it was her birthday, and this is first grade. He decided to dress up for her birthday, right? Isn't that awesome? So can you see he's like my mini me? Do you see it? You guys see it? All right, next picture. This is Chase and Aspen, I think. Next one. That's just me all over. There we go. So that's Chase. So this kid, literally, his eyelashes, he's got the, you can't see, longest eyelashes, I measured it. It was like over a half of an inch. Now, I did pull it out of his eye, so that was a parent fail on that one. But anyway, but literally, his eyelashes are like 3/4 of an inch. It's amazing. And then he's awesome. He's a little behind in talking. He's just starting to talk, but his favorite things are, Daddy, I want soda, which we don't give him pops. I don't know who's giving him pop all the time, but. And the second thing he says, Daddy, will you shuggle me? And so he wants me to, like Hitler couldn't say no to that, right? I mean, like, who, I mean, this amazing child. I mean, it's like, will you snuggle me? And it's like, of course I will snuggle you all the time. And so we snuggle all the time. And literally, I woke up the other day in bed, and he was laying on top of my wife. Both of us had no idea. He came into our bed, and he's laying. I was like, Lila, there's a human being laying on top of you. And she had no idea. This next one. Guys, we'll dive in here in a minute. This is Aspen. Oh my gosh, that defines my daughter. So my daughter is brilliant. I mean, she's really, really smart, and she's just belligerent, but like in an awesome way. I mean, she's absolutely amazing. She is so intelligent, and she's so driven, and she's so passionate. Everything she does with her entire heart. And so if she's hugging you, you can't breathe because she's literally like your neck, there's no oxygen going. She's everything, and if she's throwing a fit, it's the biggest fit, and you also can't breathe because she sucks all the oxygen out of the room getting ready to scream because she's so amazing. So I just want to show you this one picture of her, her doing what she does here. This is a couple years ago. Yeah. Yeah. So she reached her hand into her diaper, right? No, I'm kidding. No, so that's... So this is This is Nutella, right? This is Nutella. And of course, what do you do with a bottle of Nutella but rub it over your entire head? Of course you would do that. Like, why would you not do that? And so this is classic Aspen. Everything she does with her entire heart, with her entire being, and I love her. She's so awesome. Let me show the picture of my wife, family. Last, just want to talk. My wife is awesome. Guys, I don't know how this happened. I have a confession this morning. You guys got the B team. I don't know what happened. So my wife is the lead pastor of Elmas Church. I'm not sure if Pete was trying to call her and I accidentally picked up the phone. It was an awkward situation. He didn't know what to do and he accidentally invited me. But my wife is so epic. She is so amazing. We have a mentor, maybe a few of you have heard of a lady named Alicia Scholey. She's former Chi Alpha, just amazing. And she's our life mentor. And this lady can peer into your soul. It's amazing and just change your life. And the student has become much like the teacher. And so literally anytime someone hangs out with my wife, your life will be changed in 45 minutes. You will walk out of Starbucks a different person. Just the other day, a barista came up to my wife. We kind of office out of Starbucks, our local Starbucks, and she's like, I'm just dying to know, like, what do you do? I need to know what you do. And one of the baristas went by. She happens to be a part of our church. She's a give a year. And she said, oh, that's my pastor. And the girl's like, there's some things I can't say. She said, everybody's like, you're a pastor, right? And she's like, why is that surprising to you? She's like, what? Because, like, people like you. And they... Every time they're with you, they're like happy. I mean, most of them are usually crying, but they're happy while they're crying. It's amazing. And they walk out and you guys hug and it seems like this life-changing event. And she just couldn't, like a meeting with a pastor being a positive thing. And so my wife is amazing. And so any of you would be privileged to hang out with my wife even for 45 minutes. So come, maybe on a mission trip if we decide to do that on a give a year internship, you guys, your life will be changed. Anyway, well, enough about that. Guys, I'm an evangelist, and I care about leading people to Christ. That is my passion. I specifically love people who hate Christians. I do. Summit County is about 95% non-Christian. About 4%, maybe 5% of people in Summit County, Colorado are Christians. When we first moved there, we went out with a stack of $5 bills, and we just literally handed them out. We said, hey, we'll give you $5 for 5 minutes of your time. We said, what do you think about church? What do you think about Christians? And some of the top responses that we got said, well, I don't know any Christians, but I think, I'm pretty sure they vote Republican. They hate homosexuals. Yeah, and I don't think they recycle, right? Don't they like burn tires and stuff? That's what they mean. And so we quickly realized that a typical church plant was not going to work. You know, so we had everything we thought we needed. We had the movie theater picked out. We had the marketing campaign ready to go. We had the most important piece, which is like, it's like 0.99 correlation, let's just call it causal, right? Yeah, I went there for you stats people, right? For both of you that got that. And that's, of course, the hipster worship leader, right? I mean, like super skinny jeans, faux hawk, I mean, smoke machines, the whole deal. So we had that. He was more of a lumber section, but anyway, he was. Because we had this cool band and we had all this stuff, and we just realized that people said, we're not coming to your church. I'm like, wow, yeah, okay, it's a different church than you've ever been to. You can drink coffee in the sanctuary, right? And they're like, what's a sanctuary? Like, fair enough, touche, right? These people just told us over and over, like, you don't understand, we are never coming to your thing. We're never coming to your thing. So why? Like, we don't like you and we don't believe in your God. And we don't want to ever look anything like you. Why would we ever come? And so we're in this place. How do you plant the church to people who refuse to go to church? So we had a team of 11 people who quit jobs, sold houses, moved across the country, for the dream of making disciples that make disciples, for planting a church that plants churches, and here we are. Everyone was telling us, we hate you, we're never coming to your thing. Oh, great. But we got this well-manicured singing man. You should come see it. No, we don't. So God spoke to something to us very, very clearly. It has become my ethos, it's my DNA, it's who I am. He said, Eric, why don't you stop inviting people into your services and just start inviting people into your life? I'll say it again. God said, Eric, stop inviting people into your services and start inviting people into your life. Guys, there's a problem with that. See, I have an associate's in Bible. I have a bachelor's in Bible. I have most of a master's in Bible. But I never took that class. How to engage a society that hates me, that will never come to my thing. Guys, I know how to, my wife and I, we are amazing. Well, she is amazing. We have certain gifts, public speaking, we can lead worship, we can create ministries. My minor at Central Bible College, my minor was how to guilt people into working in the nursery, right? Like that one I got, I can nail that all day long. But how to engage people where they're at? I didn't take that class. And so how do I go and make friends? How do I connect with people that hate me, that think that I do these things that have put me in a box? Guys, before we move on, we're gonna read a passage of scripture here. I'm gonna put it, Matthew 25, of the talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags, to another, 1, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more, but the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share in the master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share the master's happiness. The man who had received 1 bag of gold said, Master, I knew you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid the gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I had harvested where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would at least have it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more. They will be given abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Guys, I'll just skip to the end part here. As we've, many of you have amazing talents. And you've buried those, right? And talents, it's giftings, it's successes. But you know what talents, I also believe, is it's failures, it's abuses, it's suffering, it's pain, it's betrayals. See, God just doesn't want to use things that happen to us. It's actually his plan to use things that happen to us and things that he gives us, things that he puts inside of us for his kingdom. Because I've got the opportunity to speak at over 300 churches all across the country. Tens of thousands of people, and person after person, I see that they have dug a hole and they have buried their talents for one reason or another. Because this morning I am asking the Holy Spirit to convict all of us about burying our talents, and what does that look like? What do we do? What do we have that we can use it for the kingdom of God? What do we have that we can expand God's kingdom? This morning I want to take you on a little bit of a journey that I went through in Summit County. I realized that people weren't going to come to our church, and so, all right, God, I guess we have to go to them. As you said, invite people into my life. I have no idea how to do that. I guess we'll just figure it out. It's one of the things that we talk about in our church. It's our mantra, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing poorly. Yeah, exactly. You nailed it. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing poorly. See, my 3-year-old, he has decided that he does not like to poop on the potty. And so he likes to poop in his pants. I don't know why he does that. I mean, maybe if I pooped in my pants for 3 years, I would also like it and get used to it. I don't know. I'm probably not going to do that experiment. But for some reason, he decides that he... So right now, he is incompetent at pooping on the potty. But someday, I'm sure by the time he graduates high school, he will be able to poop in the potty, right? Evangelism, discipleship. When the first 50 times I went to the pub with my non-Christian friends. The first 30 times I showed up at a marijuana dispensary, I was the unbelievably super awkward guy. Remember the first time I sat down with one-on-ones and tried to share Christ with people, I sucked at it, like really, really bad. But guys, if it's worth doing poorly. In our church, we talk about, we've modified that to suck until you don't, right? Because I figured there's about 125 majors according to Wikipedia at UVA. And guys, you suck at almost all of them. I mean, you do. I mean, think about it. There's English literature. There's, you know, cello performance possibly. There's engineering. There's medicine. I mean, you might be good in your field and maybe it bleeds over to the field. But there are so many things that we are bad at in life, and we're bad at it until we do it 1,000 times, right? Because I've had the opportunity to teach, practice, write on experience evangelism for a decade now. For 10 years, I have dedicated my life to evangelism. And I've come up with two reasons. There's two reasons that we do not evangelize. And we come up with all these other reasons why we don't, and we spiritualize them, but there's two reasons we don't that I believe, and maybe you can innovate and give me a third or a fourth. But it's due to sheer incompetence. And it's very inconvenient as well. My wife and I, over the last 8 years that we've been there, we have had over 200 people stay with us short term. We've had 35 people live with us long term. Last count, 60 people have keys to our house. We have been lied to. We've been lied about. We have been stolen from. We have poured out our lives for people only to watch them walk away and give us the middle finger on the way out. The Great Commission is not convenient. It's not convenient to get a call at 4:30 in the morning from Nina when her ex-husband has shown up drunk and just beat the crap out of her. And their 3-year-old child is crying on the ground and we go over there and just help. It's not convenient when people need time, when they need energy, when they need money. Guys, it's not convenient to live out the Great Commission. And guess who likes to suck at things? Anybody in here like to suck? Right. Guys, until you do this 100 times, you're going to suck at it. You are incompetent. That doesn't mean that you're not intelligent. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It just means until you do something 100 times, you're going to be bad at it. Many of you, you've isolated yourself from the Great Commission. You've isolated yourselves from people who know Christ. Guys, the first 100 times you hang out with people, you will be the awkward one. You will have no idea what to do. You will have no idea what to say. Guys, I promise if you follow the Great Commission, if you follow the Spirit in dangerous places, it will take you amazing places. And it's amazing, God actually has to show up, right? Like, we want to be in our controlled environment. We want to know that we are safe, and yet God is calling us to be unsafe, to not know what we're doing, to be incompetent, and to be inconvenienced. So it's incompetence and inconvenience. It's fear and the Pharisee, right? So God said, go. Do this Great Commission thing. And so I had no idea what I was doing. I'm like, okay, God. So I went and I got a job at a bookstore. Great, working at a bookstore. My wife got a job at Starbucks and we just thought, okay, we're going to practice the Great Commission. And there was this girl, Erin. If we can show Erin here. Erin was, Erin. Erin's just a very hard person. Just a very hard person. She had a lot of walls up, but for some reason, my wife just connected with her, and we decided we're going to make Erin our love project, right? We're going to love and serve Erin, and it's like, God, okay, I'm ready for this Great Commission thing. I get it. I need to go love people. I need to go serve people, and I remember the day that God kind of spoke to me. It was like this kind of cute pat on the head, like, oh, that's funny. You think you love people. Oh my God, I've been a pastor for like 13 years at this point. Like, I've dedicated my entire life. I left a potentially lucrative career. My wife left a lucrative career to go into ministry. Like, we love people. God spoke back. He said, Eric, you don't see people as people. You see people as projects. If we're honest with ourselves this morning, how many of us see people not as people, we see them as projects? And so I was like, God, you're right. I see people as projects. And so I decided to go to the source of all truth to try to figure this out. So, you know, went to Google, how to stop seeing people as projects, you know. Like, surely there's like a Celtic chant, there's a conference I can go to, there's a book I can, surely there's something I can do to stop seeing people as projects. The Holy Spirit just whispered, you have to go and fall in love with someone who doesn't know Christ. It'll change your life. So we went and just loving, so we decided we're gonna love Erin. Everything in us, we're just gonna love and serve Erin. And so she, God provided some opportunities. So within a few weeks, she popped a snow tire. Guys, we get 25 feet of snow a year. I said feet, 25 feet of snow. She popped a snow tire, and so we had a couple hundred extra dollars. I said, Aaron, we want to give you some money. She refused. No, you have to take this money. So finally she took it, and I think a little while later their hot water heater ran out. And so it was the first key we ever made. We went down to Lowe's, and we made a key. It cost us $1.97. And we went to Aaron, and we had this like dubbing ceremony. She got down on one knee, and we knighted her with a key. Here's a key to our house. We said, our house is your house. You and your boyfriend, you can stay there, you can sleep there, you can eat our food, you can use our shower, you can do whatever you want. Our house is your house. A while later, I think their heat went out. We couldn't help with that, so we just bought them an electric blanket, right? This is all very sexy stuff. I mean, this is like mind-blowing, just radical, Great Commission kind of stuff, right? I know you guys are all super impressed right now. We decided to love Aaron, and we just hung out with her and her boyfriend a lot, and one day she was, I went to Starbucks to visit my wife, and she was there, and she was on a smoke break. And I went up to Aaron, and I said, Aaron, I just want you to know that I love you. I really, really care about you. I care about you and Chip. And guys, I didn't know if I actually loved Aaron or not, so it was like a faith statement. It was like, I'm trying to love you. I'm trying to not see you as a project. And just this amazing event happened. She came, and she just gave me this gigantic hug, right? And so here we are. We're in the Starbucks parking lot. I'm hugging this random woman. We're smoking. She starts crying. I start crying. And I'm like, I didn't take this class. I have no idea how I got here, right? So. Guys, this is not pastor talk, but guys, something changed in my life radically that I am different to this day for the rest of my life. That in that moment, I fell in love with Aaron. And suddenly, it wasn't about Aaron coming to my service anymore. It wasn't even about Aaron like praying a prayer anymore. It was like I started caring about Aaron's finances. I started caring about her physical health. I started caring about her dysfunctional relationship with her boyfriend. I started caring about her spirit. I started caring about every aspect of Aaron. I fell in love with a person that day. That Aaron ceased to be a soul and she became a human being, right? So my first challenge to you this morning is, do you love people? I mean, do you really love people? And specifically, is there anyone in your life who doesn't know Christ that you love? Or do you see people's projects? Is the point just to get them to the Chi Alpha service? Wait. Guys, do you really love people? And if not, later we're going to have an opportunity to repent and ask God to forgive us and change us. So that radically changed my life, and I realized, man, I really love Aaron. So the next step, God said, I want you to be a little more uncomfortable, right? I want you to go. And so, guys, the Great Commission is all around us. I mean, your lab partners, your intramural partners, your schoolmates. I mean, everything that you guys do, you are surrounded by people who desperately need Jesus. If you would open your eyes and see the Great Commission all around you. So the Great Commission happened this day at the grocery store, at the bacon counter. Does anybody likes bacon here? Anyone? Yeah, both of you? All right, good. That's good. Like, why am I raising my hand about liking this? Stupid. Right, that's fair. Fair enough. Touche. All right. And so I was at Safeway, and I went up to the, they have this beautiful case with like all kinds of bacons. And so it's like a bacon dispensary, right? It's amazing. And so I noticed this girl, Ashley, she was there. And she had to be new because I typically buy bacon, you know, 2-3 times a day, something like that. So I was there, and I was, okay, man, I need to get some bacon. And I said, Ashley, I'm guessing you're new here, because I was here just like 3 hours ago and you were not here. So clearly you are very new. She's like, yeah, no, I'm just new. I just got the job. And I said, oh, that's awesome. I said, hey, you know, Summit County can be a really, really difficult place to connect with people. You can make a lot of acquaintances. It's hard to make friends. And so, Ashley, I want to be your friend. Let's be friends. And that's weird, right? Who does that? But So, Ashley, I want to be your friend. And so my wife is a rock star, and she's amazing, and I've got amazing friends. I would like to invite you into my community. And so would you consider having dinner with us? I know we just met, and I promise I'm not a creeper, but like, would you have dinner with us? And she's like, yeah, why shouldn't I have dinner? I'm like, why shouldn't you have dinner? And then she made this statement, guys, and I'm a different person now, but then she said, hey, is it okay if I bring my girlfriend? Oh, like your girlfriend. Oh, it's like, and I just, you know, like the, you guys ever seen Saved by the Bell, like the Zach Morris timeout thing? So I just like froze. I didn't know what to do. And And so I was getting incredibly awkward, incredibly, come on, we'd love to have you. And it was incredibly awkward, and she was extremely gracious, but she came. And so we see what we did. So I was at the grocery store, and I needed bacon. Jesus wanted me, it was the will of God for me to have bacon that day, right? So I went, and I purchased bacon. I saw someone who desperately needed love, and I said, would you come into my life? I know, super sexy, super awesome missionary story, life-changing, I get it. Preaching to nations and whatnot, miracles, limbs growing back, I got it. No. And so 6 days later, Ashley and her girlfriend was also Ashley, decided to come over. And so my wife and I, we didn't know what to do, right? So I've never had a lesbian friend before. This is the first. This is a big deal. Like, I didn't know what to do. And so literally, like, what do my wife and I have in common with an 18 and 22 year old lesbian couple? Like, other than we both suck oxygen and we like bacon, like nothing. Like that, we have nothing in common. We can't. You can only talk about bacon so much, right? I mean, I've already capped out at this event talking about bacon. And so we literally wrote a list of things, like, what are we going to talk about? We wrote this list, like, okay, like, ask them about our family, ask them about their hobbies, what's your favorite color? I don't know. We literally came up with this list, and we memorized the list. And so the night came, and so we're like, I'm pacing the floor. I'm like super nervous. I don't know what to do. And I just want to be friends with these people. I want to love and serve them. I don't want to offend them, and I offend people. And so they pulled up in the car, and I'm like, oh, crap. Okay. All right, so I'm doing like breathing exercises. I'm on the birthing ball. Like, you know, there's all this stuff. And so I'm pacing it, and they come up. And so when you go to Summit County, you typically bring a gift, like a housewarming gift. Usually it's, of course, like, no kid, you know, brownies with marijuana baked in them, or a six pack from your local microbrew, right? They drink the good stuff there, not the cheap. And so luckily, well, or not, whatever, they chose the latter. So they've got a six-pack of beer, and so they're coming up. But guys, now I'm still fresh from Springfield, Missouri, Bible school land. I'm still, like, wearing khakis and burning tires, and, like, just I'm doing all these, like, crazy stuff. And so I am not as sophisticated as what you see in front of you today. And so, why, that's not funny. Fair enough, all right? And so they're walking up the steps. I'm literally pacing the floor. I'm like, I don't know what we're gonna do. What are we gonna do? And I'm like, there's gotta be like a manual for this, right? There's gotta be a manual. Like, surely someone wrote a book. And so my wife literally grabbed me. She almost like smacked me across. Like, Eric, there is no lesbian to tell you what to do when the lesbian couple, or there is no book, there is no manual on what to do when the lesbian couple brings a six pack of beer to your house. We just have to do it, right? So I'm like, we got this, right? So we're gonna go over and we hear. Like, we're both standing in front of the door, and we're, like, holding hands, right? So, I mean, so, we're knocking the door, and we're like, what? I don't know what to do. You do. So, anyway, so my wife, a little more bold than that, she answers, hey, come on in. And so, you know, take the six-pack, put it in the fridge. We don't know what to do with it at that point. You know, it's the whole thing. And we just shared life for the next 3 hours. And we asked questions. Hey, tell us about your family. We didn't have the list. We memorized the list, right? My guys, who doesn't like to talk about themselves, right? When I became a missionary, they said, you're going to have to go and raise money for the ministry that you want to do. It's going to be really tough. Everyone hates it. I'm kind of a recovering narcissist. I'm like, hold up. You're telling me I get to go around the country and talk about myself and then people give me money? Like, this is the best job ever. Like, this is amazing. Like, who doesn't like to talk about themselves? The problem is we just don't ask good enough questions, right? Or questions at all. Ashley, I really care about you. Like, tell me about your family. Turns out Ashley had gone to a youth group, and she said she got kicked out for being a lesbian. I don't know the story, but she was rejected from church. The other gal had literally never been in church in her entire life, never heard the gospel in her entire life. So the night we just became friends, and we just had a great night. Three hours later, they walked out. We gave each other, you know, very appropriate side hugs, and anyway, I hate sex. Anyway, they left. I was like, wow, like, that was not terrible. In fact, it might have actually been okay. It was 3 or 4 days later, I got this call. It was super late at night. It was like 8:30 or something. I was already in bed for like an hour. And it was Ashley, and she said, Eric, would you come pick me up? Yeah, sure. I do that. I can come pick you up. And so I drove to Safeway, and she was getting off, and she got in the car. You could tell just something wasn't right. And I said, hey, what's up? You know, And she's like, do you mind if I come to your house? Yeah, no, absolutely. Come to our house. And guys, I love awkward, as you've already experienced. I love awkward, but this was not an enjoyable awkward. This was like I was being victimized by awkward, which I don't like. And so it was like a 12-minute car ride home, and I literally didn't say anything. The entire time, I'm like, I can't whistle, so I just pretending that I'm whistling right now. And so we get back, and she came inside, and she sat on a couch, and my wife and I have this, she's sitting forward, and my wife and I are on the opposite sides of the couch, and we're looking at each other like, I don't know what to say. You go. No, you go. Fine. It's like, dang it. Ashley, so like, I don't know, like what's going on, you know? And this girl just broke. Started bawling on our couch. I said, Eric, Lila, she just started crying out. I'm going through depression. My relationship with Ashley is just on the rocks. I just moved here. I don't know anyone. I'm isolated. I'm depressed. And she kind of almost like sobered up for a second. She goes, guys, I'm sorry. You're strangers. I don't even know you. We've shared one dinner together. But guys, I really needed to talk to someone. And you guys just seemed really safe. You guys just seem really safe. That's my first challenge is, do you love people? I mean, do you really love people? And if you don't have someone in your life who doesn't know Jesus, I'm just going to answer it for you. You don't. The second question is, are you safe? One of my favorite scriptures, Luke 15. Oh, because I love this. Get this in your spirit right now. By this time, a lot of men, this is talking about Jesus, by this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. The Pharisees and religious scholars were not pleased. They were not pleased at all, growling. They said, he takes in sinners and eats meals with them. He treats these people like friends. As it would be the greatest honor of my life if people of doubtful reputation consider me a friend. Are you safe? The people around you, the people who don't know Christ, your friends, if they wanted to know about Christ, would they come to you? Or would they feel like they're losing? Remember in high school, I was just a super evangelist guy and I was outspoken and all these things, and I remember even if my friends had come to me, they would have felt like they were losing something. They were losing the argument. Guys, when someone comes to Jesus, nobody should lose. Everybody wins. So my question is, do people of doubtful reputation feel comfortable hanging out with you? If not, why? Guys, Jesus isn't God incarnate. I mean, he's the holiest person that ever existed because he happens to be God. And yet notorious sinners, another translation says, notorious sinners wanted to be with him. We get this idea, the more holy we are, the more that the world should want to separate itself from us. And yet I see Jesus, the most holy person that ever existed, people of notorious reputation, of doubtful reputation, wanting to be with him. So, I learned that I need to love people. I need to be safe. You know, that night we were able to share the gospel with Ashley, tell her about Jesus. You know why? Because I went to seminary. No. Because I'm awesome? No. Because I was present in her life? Because I saw a human being and I fell in love with that person and invited them into my life. And I was willing to be awkward. I was willing to be inconvenienced. I was willing to be incompetent and really suck at it, and suck I did. So next, God says, all right, it's time to get a little more out there. And guys, I was working at this bookstore. As I am been a pastor for 17 years now. I've got a also have a master's in Bible. I've got a master's in business administration. I've started several successful businesses. I was very angry about working in this bookstore. God said, I want you to go over here and work in this bookstore. So you guys probably don't know this, but I'm kind of a big deal. So yes, I know you're discovering that as we're going along here, that I'm a pretty big deal. And so I'm arguing with God. I'm in this bookstore. I'm like, God, I know that you specifically wanted me to work at the Next Page bookstore in Frisco, Colorado, and I'm very angry about this. I don't understand why I'm here, because I am a really big deal, and I should not be working in this bookstore. See, what was supposed to happen is we were supposed to go to Summit County, Colorado, and we were supposed to plant this church, and immediately, like, 6 billion people were supposed to show up to our church, and we were supposed to be on, like, the front page of, like, you know, Evangelism Magazine. That's actually a thing. I know, right? And so we were supposed to be on, like, Influence Magazine, which actually my wife is on the cover of that. Anyway, that's funny. So anyway, we were supposed to be popular, and then we were supposed to ascend to the highest calling in Christian spirituality, and that is, of course, to be a conference speaker. Right? That's what we do. So that's like our industry standard. So how many conferences are you speaking? So by this point, I should have already been a conference speaker, and yet I am working in Frisco, Colorado for $10 an hour at a bookstore, and I'm angry about it. Because I feel like that's a message for some of you this morning too, that to be faithful where God's put you. Because I firmly believe that my wife and I are going to change the world. That we are changing the world, and God's going to do amazing, amazing things through our church plant. You know why? It's not because we're awesome. It's not because we're stellar. It's because we're available. And because we've been there for 8 years, and we've been through hell. We had lots of opportunity and every reason to leave, and yet we didn't. And God said, now I can trust you a little bit. Because the deal is I'm not saying you have bad character. You just don't have enough of it yet. The only ways that I know how to grow character are through serving, through risking, and embracing suffering. Awesome, right? So guys, when in doubt, go low. When in doubt, serve. When in doubt, be faithful where you are. For 3 years, my wife and I, 3 years, we were in Springfield, Missouri, and we wanted to go change the world, and God said, I want you here. For 3 years, we had no vision, we had no direction, we had nothing, and yet we obeyed. Someday we're going to change the world, and we are changing the world right now because God can trust us. As I'm going to challenge you this morning, a little side sermonette, I want to ask you to never, ever again in your life pray the prayer, God, use me. Do not pray, God, use me. Instead, pray a very dangerous prayer, God, make me usable. Do not ever pray again, God, use me. Ask the prayer, God, will you make me usable? Unfortunately, that usually means a lot of serving. It means some suffering. It means embracing anonymity, not being the cool guy, not being the cool girl. So I'm working at this bookstore, and I'm angry about it, but I'm trying to submit to God. God, you have me here. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be present. God, change my heart. God, I'm going to be the best bookstore guy there's ever been in the history of bookstores, right? Which is pretty easy because, like, no customers ever came into this bookstore. So in walks Robert. Interesting guy. He just had graduated from Princeton. He went from Princeton to work at a law firm. He didn't like the law firm. From there, he went to a Buddhist monastery. So he was a Buddhist monastery for about 6 months. And then he went to Copper Mountain to be a lift operator for $9 an hour, right? So a typical trajectory, you know, similar to you guys. So, you know, Princeton, law firm, Buddhist monastery, Copper Mountain, $9 an hour, lifty, right? So we walked in and we're just hanging out at the bookstore, and we start talking about spirituality and just connection. And so pretty soon it was his time to, my time to close up the shop. And so I said, Robert, I got to go, but I don't see that. I don't think you have a car. Can I take you home? Let me take you. And so I took him back to his dorm, the employee housing at Copper Mountain. And we just exchanged numbers. And we were just hanging out. And pretty soon we're just sharing life together. We were sharing life together. And he called me one day and he said, Eric, I want to invite you to a party that I'm having. And I was kind of like, oh, a party? Like, wow. First of all, I've never been invited to a party before, so that's kind of a pretty big deal. So, now, it turns out this was like the pre-party. I'm not cool enough for the after party, so I'm cool enough for like the pre-party. And so I was kind of invited to the pre-party, and so I went to his condo, and I'm just kind of terrified. I don't know what's going to happen here. So here's Robert from Princeton. The guy next to him on the couch is working on his Master of Divinity from Harvard. The guy next to him is working on his PhD in probability and statistics at UC Berkeley, right? So usually I consider myself the smart guy in the room, but I was definitely the dumb guy in the room at this point. And so they're all kind of devout Buddhists, and so they're talking about their Buddhism, and I'm trying to inject Christianity, and I'm failing absolutely miserably to do so. At one point, the guy goes over and he pulls out this kind of glass art piece. We have this famous glass blowing place in Frisco, and he pulled it out, and I asked weird questions. I'm like, oh, what does that do? And he's like, what do you mean, what does it do? Well, you put the marijuana here, and you put the water here, and you boil it, and you get. And so he did the whole rig, and he offered it to me. He's like, hey, do you want some? No, I'm good, actually. You wondered what I was going to say, didn't you? I guess I had this moment. This is the first time I was ever around marijuana. I said, God, I don't know what to do. And God spoke to me, and I knew that it was from God because it all started with the same letter, right? So anytime God uses alliteration, you know it's from him, right? And so there was the fear response, right? That, oh my gosh, there's like this pot, and surely there's pot demons probably, and they're going to attach themselves to me, and then I'm going to go home, and the pot demons are going to attack my son, and I'm going to wake up one morning, and he's going to be smoking a bong at 18 months old in his thing, right? So... And then there's the Father's response, right? So the Father says, Christ only did what he saw the Father doing. And then there's the Pharisee response, right? Turns out Pharisee does not start with the letter F, but it makes the same sound, so it's still God, or mostly God, right? There was also a lot of marijuana in the room already, so I was a little off, possibly. And the Pharisee response says, pot offends God, the substance offends God, therefore I need to be holy and I need to get out of this situation. I need to stand up for righteousness. I need to stand up for God because he's very insecure, and I need to get out of here on behalf of God, right? So, God says, this is exactly where you are supposed to be. The guys, kind of like Glenn said, I don't struggle with alcohol. I don't struggle with marijuana. It's not an issue. It's never been an issue. I have other struggles and issues and sins in my life. It's not that. And so I decided just to stay there that night, and so they're smoking pot, and they're talking about Buddhism, and I'm lost, and I'm desperately trying to not be an idiot. That was my goal, don't suck, right? And I failed at that, mostly. But about 2 hours into the pre-party, I said, Robert, I gotta go, we're having a prayer meeting tonight, and he said, let me walk you out. So we walked down to the car, and dude just broke down. He started tearing up, and he looked at me and said, Eric, you're going to prayer meeting, right? I said, yeah. He said, would you pray for me? I said, no. No, kid, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that. It's like, we do that at the prayer. So I said, what do you want me to pray for? He's like, dude, I don't have any joy in my life. I was like, I got this one. I got this. This one I got, right? I was like, dude, man, let me share joy with you. Let me share this guy named Jesus that has radically changed my life. Not a philosophy or a religion, but a person of God who's radically changed me. And I got to pray with Robert right there. You know why? Because I went to seminary. Or because I said, God, here am I, send me, even though I'm angry, I'll work at this stupid bookstore, even though I'm too big of a deal. And God, I will invite Robert into my life, and I am willing to go and hang out with him because he's not going to come to my thing. I am willing to be inconvenienced. Our church, we always say, past the point, loving and serving, loving and serving, loving and serving, past the point of being taken advantage of. Guys, the Great Commission is not convenient. I mean, Jesus, right? He's God. I've never been God, but it's probably a pretty big deal, right? Think about it. Jesus became a baby. I mean, literally like a zygote in a woman. Jesus pooped himself. We don't think about that. Jesus pooped himself. He did. God became man. I mean, he became a baby. And he lived a perfect life. And for 30 years, he was in complete anonymity, just hidden away, and then his ministry. And you know what? The very people that he came to save nailed him to a tree and tortured him and ripped the flesh off his back, put a spear in his side, and literally murdered him. Eric, I've got a pretty heavy class load. Oh, you are exempt from the Great Commission. I understand that Jesus became a human, lived a perfect life, and was killed by those who came, but no, but you've got a hard class load. You're in engineering, I get it. Exempt. As many of you this morning have, whether intentionally, consciously, or unconsciously, you have disobeyed and you have disregarded the Great Commission, and it's not okay. Jesus loves you with his whole heart, and his love for you is not based on your obedience. It's not based on your performance, but he wants you to fulfill his Great Commission. The Great Commission is not convenient. And most of you, or I don't know, some of you, I don't know how many are completely incompetent. You suck at it real bad. And you're going to suck until you don't. But if it's worth doing poorly. Because you don't understand the gifts and the talents and the abilities. Guys, what does this look like? And I'll close here. I would say the Great Commission, it is not easy, but it is very simple. It's loving and serving, and at the right time, challenging someone into a relationship with Christ. For me, I like to play tennis. And so instead of finding the one other Christian tennis player in Summit County, because there's probably only one, and us forming the Christian Tennis Association of Summit County and getting like onesies and t-shirts and headbands and playing tennis and inviting people into our Christian club, why don't I just go and play tennis with dudes that don't know Jesus? And ideally, if there were 10 other guys who loved Jesus, I would take them with me and we would go and invade their space and love and serve people there. Because I love real estate. I do some real estate investing. Just recently, I kind of put this manifesto of real estate investing and ethical landlordingism, whatever. It completely went viral in our community. And now I'm like this hero to tenants all over the place. And the paper picked it up. And I'm like, this, I got my 15 minutes of fame. But guys, God loved my love of real estate investing for the kingdom of God. Guys, maybe you're amazing at physics. Well, people really suck at physics. And so you take your love and your passion and your goodness of physics and you go and you actually tutor someone who doesn't know Jesus. Oh, by the way, we're having a barbecue with 400 of my friends tonight. Why don't you come along? Great Commission. Guys, what can you do by yourself? And what if we did this as a community? What if you guys found, what's the least attended sport on campus? I don't know, like women's lacrosse or something. Like what's like the worst sport? Diving? I don't know. What? Football? Oh. Wow. All right, whatever. Let's just say it's men's diving. I don't know. I don't even know if you have a diving team, but what if 70 of you, you got a bunch of core groups together and you went and you had face paint and cowbells and you were the only people other than the people's moms and you just turned the place inside out? Guys, what if you invited people to the things that you're already doing? What if you invite, I don't know what water basketball is, but apparently it's a thing. Why don't you invite people? Intramurals, volleyball, going to sports. Montana State, they came on a missions trip and I challenged them. They used to play, they have a Chi Alpha house and they play games in their dorm, in their house every Tuesday night. I said, guys, how about this? Instead of playing the games in there, why don't you just go play games in a dorm and invite everyone that walks by? Great Commission. Guys, we have made the Great Commission way too complicated. You do not have to go to Walmart and wear like, you know, Jesus with a big arrow pointing up and hand out tracts and be weird. You can take the passions that you have, the failures, the abuses that you've suffered, the pain, the suffering, the gifts, the calling. You can take it and you can use it for the kingdom of God. Last, you guys have something that you may not realize that what you have, and you have this. As for 7 years, my wife and I did this alone. Virtually alone. Now we have a team, we have a church, and so all my stories are me leading Christ by myself because that's what I had. And that is not the intent of the gospel. The intent is that we do this in community. Let's be on the worship team, come on up. Guys, you have, what do you guys, like 650 people in Chi Alpha, something ridiculous? Because even the conversations I've heard, the things I've heard, you guys seem to like each other. Fair enough? You guys seem to be for each other. You seem to support each other. You wear headbands, and I don't know why I can see your stomach, Orange Man, but you guys do crazy stuff like this. And what you don't understand is nobody gets this stuff. What you have, nobody else has. You have Christ, you have the Word, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have each other. I believe that you have used this community in a positive way to connect to God. I believe that you have used this community in a positive way to connect to each other. But have you used, or have you buried this community in the sand like the wicked servant and not used it to reach those who desperately need Christ? You guys have something so awesome. You don't even have to create it. It's already there. Just invite people into what you're already doing. Why are there not more people who don't know Christ at your houses all the time? Why are more people not at the barbecues? You're already doing it, guys. We've made this thing too complicated. Just invite people into your life. You guys have something so amazing. I mean, who gets love? Guys, people don't even get love in the church. You have something so precious. You have this community. You have this camaraderie. You have this care. You have this love. You have this service. And there are people literally dying and going to hell who would die for what you have. And some of you have buried it in the sand, and Jesus is saying it's time to uncover it for the mission of God. It's time to utilize this community to lead people to Jesus. Guys, you are going to lead people to Christ by default. You guys are so amazing that people are going to come to the houses. They're going to come to the compounds or whatever you guys have. And they're going to say, there's something different about you guys. You guys love each other. You serve each other. You care about each other. I've never experienced this before. Just the other day, we just had a barbecue and a friend of mine, Christina, came over. She's not a believer. And she was on the couch and she was almost in tears. I went over to her. I said, wait, Christina, what's going on? Are you okay? She's like, I've never felt this kind of energy in a room before. There's just such a positive energy in this room. I said, yeah, we just love Jesus. We just love each other. She's like, man, the bar is so different. I've never felt this kind of thing. Guys, just invite people into what you're already doing. Invite people into your lives. The question this morning is, do you love people? I mean, do you really love people? Do you love a person? I'm not talking about souls out there. Is there a human being who doesn't know Jesus that you love? Second challenge, are you safe? If someone wanted to know Christ, are you safe enough for people to come hang out with you? Or would they feel like they're losing the argument? Do people of bad reputation want to hang out with you? If not, why? Because they wanted to hang out with Jesus. Guys, are we willing just not to invite people into what we're doing, but are we willing to go to them? Also, are we willing to unbury this community of what you guys have to share that with a bunch of people who desperately need it? Guys, I just have this vision of people just coming into your community and just by default, they come to Christ and they're just in the middle of a prayer meeting. Oh, I don't know God, but I guess I'll pray too, because that's what everyone else is doing. And all these people are awesome. And I want to continue hanging out with the awesome people. Guys, they'll know us by our love, right? What did Christ say? They'll know you're my disciples by your powerful working of miracles. They'll know you're my disciples by your correct theology. No, they'll know you're my disciples by the love you have for one another. How are they supposed to see that love unless we invite them into it? Guys, I know I'm over a few minutes here, but we're going to take the next couple minutes and I'm going to ask you to repent. And many of us in this room, we have disobeyed and we have disregarded the Great Commission, and it's not okay. But God loves us enough to change us. He loves us enough to grant us repentance. Two questions we always ask in our church is, what is God saying to me and what am I going to do about it? So this morning, I'm going to ask you the same question and add a third. What is God saying to you? What are you going to do about it? And what if we all did it together? Holy crap, guys, seriously. The power that's in this room. So guys, let's take a minute. Let's repent. Let's ask God, what are you going to say to me? What am I going to do about it? And let's pray that together we can do this. We can change UVA.